Oi, well, how you doing?
Clyde told me to sit over here.
Talk to some singing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've seen most of these.
The big plane.
Oh, I see what you got.
You said, you know, Chris Xavier is talking about the, when he lives in Crimea and when he moved, went to Siberia and all that. Did I have that part right, that story right, where when you put the money in the straw in the Kanlar, was that right?
One thing there was that I don't really ever talked about it. See, the first chief, he had a chief, Dres Bedsky,
Sondags.
And see, there's a dickring, and I said, I'm sorry, but I make that. Und das erste Mal, wo sie Geld ausgeschickt hat, ist sie hergegangen in den Schlacht, sie. Und dann haben wir die bloß, weißt du, die bloß putzt. Und dann haben sie dort ein Wunsch Geld genommen, haben sie angenommen, was das ist, irgendwie gesagt, ich war halt noch klein dort. But they put it into something, first. Na ja, ich denke, die haben sie einen drückigen Darm. Und dann haben sie das rein in die Bloß, die Sorglos. Und dann haben sie Kobe was nicht so viel mit Schmalz. Den Weg in die Knuff geschickt. Und das mit dem, das war recht, das war. Wo sie auf einen Brief schreiben, die waren nicht so gut geschult, mit Leid aller Welt sind, aber die gab es da. Die haben immer, du hast, wie du dort gesagt hast, der erste Buchstabe ist immer. Der Brief war eigentlich, ja, ich kann sehen, wo ich noch aufgewachsen bin, hat der Vater noch gehört von denen. Der hat gerade so gut wie kein Sinn gehabt, sie. War er immer Sentence geschrieben, you know, aber bloß die erste Buchstabe sind.
Oh, die erste Buchstabe von alle Wörter oder?
Von die Wörter, sie.
Oh, es war, oh, ich habe geschrieben, den ersten Wort. Es war den ersten Buchstabe von alle Wörter.
Ah, die Wörter, ja, sie. Aber das ist all right, das ist streng genug. Und dann sind sie hergegangen und haben sie. Oh ja, no, das mit dem Kiesel war recht. See, that Uncle Tom was quite level, you know, see. So we drove to a kleine store, die in a week. So zum Kerl, nachdem wie wir den Tag denn, you know, so nicht, was man auch machen kann, see this. You'd cut a moon and cut a moon too for the ends, and then they use cardboard, see. So we went over there and we bought that, see. And he always slept in there, you know, we had a lake here, you know, on our laps, and he slept in there. And if we were going from one place to another, then my mother always prayed, see. But that little pillow, that square pillow, there was a lot of money in there, but it was stuffed with feathers pretty tight. They stripped it over, you know, but they didn't do that. They did all kinds of other things. So I'm treating her, you know, my older sister, she had to take care of that little pillow. Yeah, she was the oldest. Okay. And we had a pillow that was pretty tight too, stuff, you know. She put some in there, see? And that, I don't know, I think Reynold was the one that was supposed to carry that one over, see? And then when she put the Tom into the crypt, then she put that in first, you know, and then laid his head on there so she could control it all the time. We got that all up there.
Yeah, but
you know, before that, when they butchered they made sausage and stuff. Oh. I know, I remember they tried to put some silver rubles in there, but that didn't work. They put in a bunch and they put some sausage dough in there and stuff, you know, but that was too heavy. See, it was noticeable, it was too heavy.
Okay. Six.
And that they had all kinds of, see, he saw a lot of tricks, you know, my dad. See, one day were interned and they shipped him to Siberia. Then they had a special train. And they had a lot of criminals, you know, they were on chain and stuff. See, and they were guarded real heavy. And same guys they were tricky. After we were back to Canberra, so there's a lot of things that they made. You know, they used to have those caps, you know, like the attendance to the service station or something. The furashkas are actually, you know, they were dress caps in those days. Now, well, it's like captains and stuff in the ship and stuff, they used them too. And they took that, there's a brim in there, you know, that keeps that thing, you know, straight, see?
Okay, I get that.
And that's a steel, just a strip of steel. It goes around that outside, inside. And they took that out, and they chopped it, they moved together, and they chopped the chopped pieces off. And then they rubbed it on those jeans and stuff, and they used it to shave themselves. And that set a lot of them. And those chains, they were heavy chains in those days. And they had different ways, you know, that they, I forgot a lot of that already. That how they broke them, you know. Okay, that one guy, you know, he someplace, you know, he got out of the car, and then he crawled underneath the railroad track, see, and then he put his chain across there, see, and then when the train went over it, and it pressed it apart, and then they could break it, see, and that they had quite a few, you know, that they broke, but then they always had to find some way to hook them together so they didn't get caught. And from them, they had that, like this one guy, he had some money and had it with him, you know, and he was in penitentiary probably, no, lifetime or little. And he had that money in there, and he he had it in there, and then he planted a lice on there, see? They were all these guys, you know, and a lot of the soldiers that we seen that was in Krungerschaft, see?
Mm-hmm.
From Germany, when they come in from Germany, that other side, they were, well, they were prisoners of war, you see, for them. And so the most lice that they get is around the belt, you know, that eats the people down there. Oh, I see, real bad, you see. And so he planted them out there, see, just because, and he made a belt out of that, and that's why he carried that. Oh, that he knew a lot of shoes, and the shoes between the inside sole and the shoe sole, they had it in there, see. They were shipped up there, so I suppose those, when they turned them out there, you know, to chop lumber and stuff, that's the way my dad said that, they had a chance to get away, because their chains were broken, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But these were private, you know, see, they were interned, you know, and those were criminals. They hauled them in one plane.
Mm-hmm. Were there many other families that went up with you? Were there many families that went up there? Or?
No. Yeah, the men were shipped up there. See, then there was another family. He lived with my dad, and after that, and they were a poor family. They had 12 or 13 kids, three of a big family.
Oh.
Well, he wanted his families up there too, so dad furnished the money for him, so that family came up there. See.
Did you find some more yens?
And then, when they came up there, well, when we came up, you know, it just was that time, see, the first ones that went up, see, like between 14 and 15, they had no problem then, see, they just went up there and they joined, made their family together. But when we came up there, it didn't look so rosy, see, it took us a day and a half, I guess it was, or was it 2 and a half, that they drove up there, you know, that we had to go from the railroad. That was all wooded area and sand, was.
Mm-hmm.
And they had usually three horses on the buggy, one in the middle and two on the outside.
Was cold then,
no? No, not net. In summer, it's net. It's when we are looking at the hook, she said, we all have cold now. We, when Mirna Nuf comes in, well, not, you know, it's had police horse farm in the police yard. They searched. They had that little pillow and threw it around, you know. Nothing happened. We got skids in the wall. That was tricky. And then we was there and it took them several hours. What they wanted is break the family. See, like Reinhold, and Friedlin, that was right, what they put in. But it started way back, you know. They want the oldest ones, you know. They want to make use out of them, see. They wanted to keep them. So they went back and forth, and then, and then they... See, we moved in together. That family was in, see. See, there were four men living in there. And they had their, dad, my dad, he was, most of the time, him and another guy, they were the cooks. And that one that had that big family, I suppose, he wasn't used to the kitchen, see. He had to scrub the floor and do that kind of work, see. They were set up like that, see, just the four.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got there, you know, all those kids and we are, see. And boy, when we went to bed that night, I think we were all, that was just classic. And we slept together that one night, and then the next day, they had looked for a place for the other family. See, we were supposed to stay there.
Did your father stay with you then, or was he going to stay with you? Was it a house
together?
That you had,
that's what you mean. They lived together as a family.
Hard to believe.
But according to orders, we wasn't there to go out on the street night before 9 o'clock in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and by 9 at night, we had to be in too.
Mm-hmm.
And if we went out on the open market, see, they had that open market, you know, where they sold pigs that they had butchered and some beef and some eggs and cream and cheese, whatever. And when we went to market there, see, in Russia was always the saying, and it's been like that, you know, a lot of stealing. So we always had to have a policeman with us, you know, when we bought firewood or something, you know, then he okayed that, see. See, they had their ways of checking.
This was in a town then?
Those days, you know, in these towns, they all over, they had a place of market. Open market. And each one set up here, mm-hmm. and the other one there.
What was the name of the town? Remember?
Yeah. And then...
what was the name of it?
This was Kologriv.
Kologriv?
Yeah. See, that's, when you look on the card, see, Nizhny Novgorod, see, this is down a ways. See, that's the big trade town, you know, that Russia had in the northeast. They had a lot of them, but in the northeast. And see, that's where they floated their lumber down and their barges, and they were
mm-hmm.
sold down there. See?
Mm-hmm. Your dad cooked for the soldiers or for the criminals or for in town?
For that was living there in that house.
Oh, just for people living there. Did he have to go? Well, he wasn't in prison then. He just had to stay in the house. They just had to keep track of where he was.
There were nobody in trouble except guys. If guys got a little rowdy, see, the younger ones, you know, like that they picked up as a prisoner of war. But most of them, you know, they were in bad shape. They froze
mm-hmm.
their feet, their hands, and stuff.
Could he earn money somehow? There's no way to earn money. You just had to live on what you had. And he had enough money from the farm.
Yeah.
Did he sell a farm? Did she sell, your mother sell
no,
a farm then?
No, we lost everything.
Well, you just sold your, which you worked,
just,
the money came from selling
the
wheat and cattle and stuff.
No, just the crop.
Just the crop?
Yeah. See, there was a crop from that yet, see, and then the following year in 15, you know, then mother had a crop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, it was by the neighbor farmers, they farmed that all, that year, see.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way they are. See, and when they lost all that, see, like we had only two or three colts left in America, and they came and got those yet, see.
Mm-hmm.
See, and then we left, you know, like they hauled us off as soon as it got dark at night, and they hauled us to different directions, you know, to get on a train.
But well, you went up there because you wanted to go up there, though, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, I wanted to be together with
them. So they said, okay, you can go then if you have enough money to pay to go up there.
We were free then, see. Mm-hmm. Now we really got free, you know, in 17 and there. See, when the communists went in there, see. Then we were completely free. We were only interned. They searched the houses and the people that were the citizens there, mm-hmm. see. They didn't trust them, you know, mm-hmm. for weapons, silver, yeah, and all yeah. stuff like that, see.
Was the war over then already? Or it hadn't ended yet?
No, they were fighting on the
they were
on
still
the
fighting front,
you know, between Germany and
Russia.
And Russia. See, then in 1918, see, they came in there in January, see, and in the spring, when the first ship left, see, and the spring, that river was so high
mm-hmm.
that the ship, the big ships that were on the Volga, they come up there, see,
mm-hmm.
and they picked up. So the first ship went, they got all the smaller families and all the prisoners of war and all, they all, that was a big ship, they all went. And we went then, the families went with the second ship.
Mm-hmm.
But it took us from Sibir to get to Germany 6 weeks.
Right.
Ordinarily you travel that in 2.5 days.
It took so long because of, well, you went by ship all the way then, or you had
no,
to take a train
to
it?
No, we went to, to Moscow, you know, see, that's where we went to her town, you know, see. Petersburg and Moscow, see. See, that's where we went, you know, from there we went by rail, see.
Uh-huh.
At Volga, you know, that's a big town.
But was there any problem getting into Germany if the war was still going on then?
No, see, in meantime, in those 6 weeks, that changed everything, you know, it was stopped.
I see.
See, we was in just about every big town, you know, main towns, they kept us 4 or 5 days. And
mm-hmm.
so when we traveled, we traveled like your ordinary passenger cars. There was no windows and no light. When it got dark, it got dark.
Mm-hmm.
And then you this show, that Chihuahua. You seen that? That was in Bill, what, more than one.
Chihuahua?
Yeah. Chihuahua, it's cool. That's a show from there.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one picture. When
if you
I
want
saw
that pillow, then you gotta take a snitch from Joanne.
I showed
here's
it to them.
Pillow, take it and lay it.
You know, in those days,
see, grandma's got a foot pillow.
The grandma said
here, you
had
have
this.
You know, well, you don't want it? Oh, Joanne can have it.
You know, like
huh?
we have.
But the go home with
so
it.
So grandma had a so a duch was.
Yeah.
They made them, you know, with tassels on.
Yeah.
She had a real big one. She did took it over and that covered them completely.
Yeah.
But that's what was their wind coat. So mother had one of them. See. And she had it with her. So one night, you know, we had that problem, you know, for all the way. There were no coal. So when the locomotive went out, you know, loaded enough wood, sometimes they had to go long ways. By the time they came back, then they burned up half of it. So we drove probably an hour. Then when he ran low, then he left us behind again, went to get some wood. And that's the way. So one morning, one night, you know, they left us out in the sticks, and then in the morning when we got up, then everybody wanted to make some tea, you know, the coffee wasn't so popular like now. So we went through a little town, you know. Well, us kids, you know, we didn't pay that much attention. So Dad said when we got there, he took off, you know, he always toot, 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 toot. He left, you know, and when he came, he made toot, toot, and he hadn't had much time to get in there, you know, and he went. So Dad said, we'll pass that little town, and see, they had these little cookers, you know, like we had them over in Shetlands, you know, for tea water, you know, they
mm-hmm.
used to have them. So we had a pretty big one, so Dad gave my brother some money, and I had a tea kettle, and he wanted us to go to that next station and get some hot water, see, and he said that if the train should take off, he said, then we should follow. Just keep on following. Well, kids, we didn't know any better. Dad said so, that's the way it was. So, it was kind of up, and there was a big valley. So a lot of these people, you know, they went down there, and they built fires, you know, and they had water, had enough water with them, see? And then they made their hot water. So we walked back to that town. Oh, I don't think it was more than 3/4 or a mile, not much more. We just followed the track. When we got there, well, they always sold water there. That didn't cost much, you know, but a little. And so we came back, We got in, we were in a boxcar that night. They had coal in there before. So, you know, us kids, we when we moved in there, every time we stopped, we went and picked some grass. Oh, by night we had a nice bed, you know. What else could we do? And then, Saturday morning, we just had mother made tea, you know, and there wasn't much to eat, you know, just dry bread or something. And then those guys were down there, see, and here that locomotive came, toot toot, see, well, they had to crawl up that hill, you know, so they didn't make it. Some got up and some didn't, so he took it again. Didn't take long, he stopped again, and those women and kids were crying, you know, their dad stayed, or some water stayed behind, the dad was there. Well, then, by night, you know, well, that they went, took off again, and it was a long hill, so he burned up his wood quicker than other times. So by night, before sundown, they came with their cold water. It had boiled in the morning, but then it was cold water already. Yeah, they followed, they caught up with it. That's what Dad told us all of that. When they, one stays behind, you should just keep on going and follow. Well, we had a lot of experience. Boy, that would have been a long, long, long book, you know. When we was in Petrograd, it's called in Russia, in the ancient St. Petersburg. You know, us kids, we were, oh, must have been about 12 or so. Just a little bunch, you know. We went out, see. Well, they couldn't hold us in there all the time, you know. So we went out there and we crossed the bridge and there was a suitcase laying in there, in the water. And they had, all that channel was covered with all, what do you call it, Unterseeboot, submarines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some shot up and some that they didn't use. They were all parked in there, everything just like that. And it was close to where the Tsar lived, you know, the big, so we went over there. We always snooped around, you know.
Animals.
And then, well, if the soldiers were around there, they gave us heck and we had to run. See? And then that suitcase bothered us for days, and we was having meetings about that, how we get that, see? And so we worked and worked, and then finally one of us, you know, he saw a wire. We saw a wire, and then we, you know, hand in hand by hand, and he had to go in the water to get over to that submarine and get that wire. And he did get the wire. So we had a wire. Now what are we going to do? Well, that wire was then, we made a hook on there, but you know, that it was too soft, the wire. So we kept on and we worked another day or so. So just the day before we left, we found a wire, you know, that was strong enough, and we pulled that suitcase out. So we pulled it out, and everybody, you know, was curious what's in there, see? So when we opened it, it was, you know, in early days, those, now what do you call the, not the, the, Abnehmer was, the, no, what they, we take pictures, you know,
the camera?
Camera.
Okay.
So it was seen in the early days, Uncle Lionel, he had one of them, where you use glass deals, you know, to put in there to get your picture on. And then he developed it himself. So this guy must have been a photographer. He had all kinds of these in there, see?
Mm-hmm.
So all we could have, look what we got, and that was nothing. That was, well, from the water, you know, there was nothing. It was just plain glass. So dropped it in the water, and, well, it was... for something to do for
next race for hundreds of
yeah so we was that day we found it, you know, it took us so long to get it out, so we got home a little too late. And when we come get home, you know, oh, I think the whole bunch got a spanking each day. We spanked his kids, but it was worth it, you know. That's the way we went all along.
Yeah,
well, like you said, you know, about the work. And then there was that little town of Pleskow, they call that in Russia. See, then the Russians were on one side and the Germans on the other side. So they patrolled. See, the Germans patrolled this side and the Russians patrolled that side. And then that's I remember for days, I don't know how many days. We didn't hardly have anything to eat. It was just nothing to eat. See? What little bread we had there for a while, then see that was all moldy, you know. And then the mother said, you can't eat that, so we just went hungry. So when we got in there, when the train pulled in there, then they said, everybody that's hungry, they should follow this track. Not over there, this track. And then we get something to eat. So we took off. You know, then family was there, everybody tried to keep kids together. Well, it was war.
Yeah.
Every so often, bang, shot one too. So we got in there and there was a, oh, I don't know how big a kettle they had. And they was here. There was macaronis and meat. And we haven't seen that. So they told us to get some of these deals, you know, that where the soldiers eat out, you know, it's kind of a little casserole, you know, where they kind of like, we say here, now we start with it, and you set one on top, that got water in the bottom. So it's in
your mouth. Just
double boiler?
Yeah, kind of double boiler, that's right. They have to help me, you know. And so they gave, each had to go over and get one. So they gave us one, and then we went over there, and then like, he's a soldier, and he's in there with his big, little, long hand. And there he goes. Boy, we could fill those things up, you know, see. And we kept going. And then they told us that when we're done eating, we're supposed to wash them out and bring them back. So we ate. Now I think we were 2-3 days, we hardly didn't have any. Well, that was good. Then mother said she thinks that was horse meat. We didn't care less. It was something to eat, and that was good. So they were good though that time.
Mm-hmm.
So they fed, and I suppose at the last end they run out of food, you know. So they cooked up something else for the night, but I can't remember now what that was. Anyway, the first ones that were in at noon, you know, they were two. See, the ring just went around like this. So those that didn't have anything for noon, they got that first meal. And then when we came through there, you know, we didn't get that much. Well, we couldn't handle it. We had almost too much at noon, you know, see. And from there on, you know, we had to stay there three or four days. That's where they pressed, you know, for Aunt Friedling and Uncle Reinhold. We stayed back. We were back, see. And that had...
Why were they supposed to go back?
Well, they want the communists wanted to keep the young people. See, they didn't care.
They wanted to go back to Crimea, right?
The little kids, they didn't want them.
Yeah. Well, they wanted to go back to Crimea, the farm, wasn't it?
But yeah, that's what they told them. But I'm sure they had to go up to the woods for all the rest, you know.
No.
But how many had died up there, you know? See, and then see, we were lucky getting out. Like my our mother's youngest sister, she and her husband, I don't know, their family, you know, was just tore apart. And they had a pastor in the family, see. The oldest one was a pastor. So the old folks hung on to him, you know, they wasn't going to let him go. Because they killed all of them, see. So they took him way out to Siberia, I don't know, they didn't, she wrote them later, they didn't know where it was. But anyway, that night, they come in there, the soldiers, and took him out, and the rest had to stay back. Well, they had to listen to it. They didn't fool around. So that was the last they seen of him, I suppose. They took him out. They had a lot of them, I suppose, out there in the woods and shot at him. And then
communists did that?
Yeah. And then her husband, he lived, I guess, a year or over a year, something like that. And they had to work in the woods. And then he died. And that was when I was here. The first year, I think, Grandpa sent me a letter and he wanted it back. And I sent it back. And she wrote, and I read that letter, you know. She wrote, you know, that this the last letter she's going to write. She's so weak, she can't handle it. They still have to work and nothing to eat. Cindy, they did that too then, see, they wrote half of a word. in this word, and the next half it is put in another word.
Mm-hmm.
And see? So what they did, you see, my dad, he put that down, and he always wrote half sentence here, the first one here,
mm-hmm.
and he took that one and added on to it. That's the way it took time. Yeah. That's like, you know, my mother and my aunt in Canada, you know, those people, like, mother was given away when her mother died, and she was given away to somebody, you know, we call that adoption now, but she wasn't really adopted. They just took, she had to work there. She was 11 years old. She had to bake the bread and take care of the kids, you know, and then they never got enough school, see? And so when she wrote, she probably, you know, had a sentence in mind, you know, a sentence in mind. And she wrote about half of that sentence. So when I got those letters, I got so used to them then, when I made letters out of them, it was, you know, some practice. And so then later, she always wrote to me. And I probably have them, we received a lot of old letters that there could be one around yet. And then when I worked at Lynx out there, see, then I was in Canada in 1926 for 3.5 months. And my aunt, she was a writer like that too. And so she wrote me a letter, see. And then I went and got the mail, and when I came in the house, and my cousin, you know, Mrs. Lynx, she said, read it. So I read it. I kept on reading. I was so used to that, so I added on all the time, you know. By the time I read, I was probably, the letter was that long instead of that long, see. I was added on where I thought, well, this is the next to that, see. There was always enough in that sentence that you could, you know, add on. And then she tried it hard, she couldn't read it. It's not everybody, see. And then I put it on a table. And that link, got through 8th grade, you know, I suppose he had pretty good marks and stuff, and there was no teacher, so he was teaching school for 2 years. And then he got a hold of that letter, and he read it. And then he couldn't get nowhere, see. And then I just come into the house, into the kitchen, and I heard. And then she said, he read it. Daten doch lese. No, he couldn't make nothing, see, out of that, see. So I took the letter and I read it. And she looked at me, you know, so funny, and he said, how can you read something if it isn't on there? I said, you can add it on there. I said, do you think there's anything wrong? I'll write it over and you compare it. So that night, you know, I wrote it over, see, the way I read it, see. And then he said, yeah. Didn't know what to say. He said, oh, it's all right. He said, you know, like people say sometimes. Well, then we have a lot of people from the early days that didn't have, so like mother's dad, he couldn't read.
Mm-hmm.
And when he tried to write a letter, he had some land, rented, that's where I seen it. So he took the first class book from the first class. That's Abi Table,
mm-hmm.
we say in Germany. And so he looked whatever he wanted to write, he looked that up. Fine, well, you know, he had to be patient, you know, to find the word where that was on there. What does that word mean? So after one day, we were going together, you see, so Sunday I was out there. And then we went into the front room. I don't know what mom wanted to get. And then you see that letter was on the table. And I looked at it. And I thought, who wrote that? He said, her dad. He never, well, he, when he was old enough, he had to go to army, see,
mm-hmm.
in those days. See? And so I wrote it, took it and wrote it over, left it there.
Yeah.
The next day he got after that and he looked at it. And her mother was good in reading, see.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly on the printed, was, that was printed in those days, see?
Mm-hmm.
But she couldn't read the old long German,
yeah,
see?
Yeah, oh, that's
and
see, tree.
So when I, then the, what was it, the next, I think the next weekend I came out there and he said, she came out with that letter. I thought they never thought of that letter anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Then her mother said, but I wrote this, yeah. So, she said, what I'd write a letter for Dad. Well, I didn't know that that was it. Well, I volunteered, so I went in there, and then I said, well, he's supposed to dictate, see. Well, it took a while to catch on, you know, they just, and then when I went to school, yet, you know, we, the teacher dictated, we had to write the sentence ourselves, you know, as far as the mistakes, see. And so I wrote, told him just, he should keep on talking, and whenever I'm done writing, then he should keep on again. Well, we had to stop a few times. Then he cut off. Then he always was ready what he could say. So I wrote that letter, and I wrote it in like the initials we right here in English, see? I wrote it in Latin, you should write it, see? But when he sent it down there, they must have had somebody, you know, that could read that real good.
Yeah.
And they wrote back and asked, you know, what, how come he didn't get that man or whoever it is to write them letters always? They didn't understand them much better. So imagine, you know, how they were those that he, you know.
Yeah.
It was hard for those people,
oh,
but they tried.
Yeah. When you moved to, when you moved from Crimea, Donka Shane, right, to Jesus group.
No, this is on stuff.
No, this could be
the
that's something real good.
Homemade wine.
Hard to condemn.
Huh? Well, drink part of it now. Drink the rest.
Okay.
Was,
when
you moved from Crimea to Siberia,
sure
you couldn't sell your land then, when you, before you moved?
No, no, we just bought it completely.
Well, you just wanted
to get out of there.
Well, you had a goal.
And
you had to go someplace to with Siberia.
So we went to Germany.
Yeah, but I mean, no, I mean from Crimea before, when he was first intern, when he moved from Crimea to Siberia.
No, we didn't have no chance at all.
You had no chance to sell land or anything.
And here, this morning,
but you lost it then already?
We knew it's gone.
The government come in and take it then?
I think you'll find a piece.
Yeah,
I think most all, look at all the blue, and there's,
you know,
about four different
is.
Shades of blue.
That's your shot.
I had, when we had quite a bit of that, you know, and when I went down, we went down to visit right in Texas.
Yeah.
So I took some along.
That must have been about, that must be about late, at least about 50 years old.
It's pretty old, you know. Since,
but when?
Now I told him, he asked me one time whether.
We lived in Dallas in
72.
Yeah, but we live up here for 13 years, and I know I made
that
before.
Well, is that right?
Because we're here 13 years already.
About 3/4 of
we're good.
There's a good stuff.
Yeah.
And good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
I better quit that.
Juice, yeah, that's juice. Maybe I
can
give
you
some juice.
Instead of
this,
all
water. When you lived in Siberia then, during the day, then what?
Okay.
You were nothing that you could do, or nothing your dad could really do, other than you could go out?
Well, we would. No, dad, his dads, you know, they always had something that's wrong.
Oh.
But as kids, we didn't have no overshoes, see?
No.
So we went sled riding for an hour, and boy, by the time the tears came down, we had to go to the house. The feet were
What about when you said you had gotten the food then, when you got close to the German-Russian line? How'd you go then from Russia to Germany? They just let you go, or did you take a train, or you walk, or what?
No, they took us by train, you know. They know that, knew exactly where his, all the family was coming from. Schroebrunn, Stuttgart.
Yeah, but when you went from the actual crossing the border, I mean, when you went from Russia to Germany where the battle was going on.
We had to walk across, and then they put us on a train.
Well, they knew that you were coming, and they knew that you were German? How did they know that?
Germany had lost so many people. They were glad to get us.
How did they know that you were German, though? Or they just...
Oh, well, they... You had to before we crossed, you know, they ask for addresses. You see, a lot of people didn't know where they were from. And a lot of them that knew where they were from, well, they were first.
Mm-hmm.
They just herded them out, you know, see.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, well, then some of them, you know, they were sent to different parts in Germany, in that Schleswig-Holstein, and where they had plenty of room. But we got, instead of, see, that Rohrbrunn, you know, that little town, that was too small for us, see. So they took us to Stuttgart, that was the main town, like Bismarck, you know, of course, see. And then we was there not too long. Well, then Dad, he got drafted, you know, for the army. He was 44 years old. And us kids, you know, well, I went to school. By the way, I was on Fridolin. She got was drafted. You know, they did that. It was the same as drafted. They sent her to a sewing school. She was real good singer. So she could fix anything. Such as what I couldn't see. And then, and Uncle Reinhold, he went to a garden. They had a big garden, and he was selling vegetables. They were growing vegetables, selling them, and as soon as they had them out, they put fertilizer and planted them again.
Mm-hmm.
And then he worked for him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then I was, as soon as the school was out, then I was drafted, see. And well, they sent me to a furniture factory.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the furniture factory, I was then just about 15. And there's some 14, yeah, just about 15. And
yeah, this is in 1918 now?
No, in 18, we, yeah, this would be then, yeah, fall of 18.
Fall of 18, yeah.
And so these factories, they were making furniture,
mm-hmm.
and they working for work for defense too.
Mm-hmm.
We made boxes for, they put the grenades mm-hmm. and stuff. That
didn't the war end in 1918 though?
No, it wasn't all stopped, and you know, it was, they were still debating, you know, they wasn't shooting anymore. But you know, they had to straighten out things, you know. But they still drafted that.
Yeah.
They were still running their soldiers like you'd lose to in the war.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way they, then I was drafted by that furniture factory, and that guy, he was lieutenant, Oberleutnant, yeah, he was, and the next to a lieutenant, see, and commanding officer, and he got shot in the leg,
mm-hmm.
and so he limped, see,
mm-hmm.
and he put me to a job, you know, there, and so I kept on working. I worked probably 2 months, 2.5 months. I got 11 days of vacation.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out in the country, you know,
mm-hmm.
and then I saw the farm. They farmed all this. The cows, when they were done milking in the morning, the cows had all their feed. We hitched them up, went, got a load of hay. That same night, about the afternoon, we went and got another load, and the cows had to get in the barn. The night they milked, and they gave up milk.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't understand this. Well, we had milk cows too,
yeah.
But then, how can they pull a load and then they still give so much milk?
Yeah.
But they fed them good, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And
it
then,
was interesting for me. Boy, those 11 days.
Then you got out of, then when did you stop? When did your dad get out of the service? When did you get out then? Was it,
well,
1987 or was it 1990?
I was
already
only drafted there for about 3 months or so.
Then your dad
then,
got out too then?
Yeah, then I didn't have a job.
Where were you working? What, like, where were you when you were in the furniture factory?
Oh, we did different things in
the
week.
Yeah, but where were you? What, in still in Russia?
Yeah, no, in Germany.
No, Germany now. After he got over, then they were drafted
back
into the German army because they're still, they're
and
standing
then,
up and fighting them.
When I was laid off, then, you know, things got better, you know, and then they didn't make anything for the defense. Well, I could, had a chance, I was offered whether I would like to learn this, see.
Mm-hmm.
But then, you know, the family was so poor, there was just nothing. Everybody had to work to make it living. The little ones were small.
Mm-hmm.
Robin, Tom was, I guess, about five, something like that. Well, then I went to unemployment. Oh, I was, oh.